And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp. Co-host Stan Ford's back. Back from the dead.
Yeah. I survived Hurricane Florence.
Hurricane Florence. I don't even remember that. What was that, like a month ago?
Oh, God. It was only 2 weeks ago. It feels like it was forever ago.
That's the new reality. It's just... stuff happens and we forget about it, Dan. There are bigger and better things going on.
Yeah, everybody's got
bigger. Like the movie Venom.
The president had a senile moment today, and, you know, that's all.
More importantly, did you see the trailer for Creed 2 dropped?
I am very worried about
that. The trailer looked good.
Did it?
Well,
or did it look like Sylvester Stallone trash?
I like that, though. I like to wallow in his trash. I mean, he's fighting Ivan Drago's kid.
Yeah, that was
the son.
It's like Sylvester Stallone that somebody saw that, like, somebody else made a movie based on his IP that was way better than anything he'd made in, like, 30 years. And it's like, I gotta fix this. Let's add fucking Drago's fucking son to it.
I think it'll be fun, like, a good trash movie. But
the thing is that Creed wasn't trash. It was like really good.
The sequel to Creed would always be trash.
Didn't happen.
No, any sequel by name. No great film has a sequel that's good.
Godfather.
Godfather sucks. Fuck the Godfather. It's pretty good. It's not a good movie. It's boring. It sucks. It's overrated.
It's pretty good.
It's overrated. The only good sequel ever is Empire. Everyone knows that. And Ocean's 13.
Well, that's definitely true.
But Empire is probably the only good sequel ever, but it was a fucking different director. So, and the first one kind of sucked.
If you think I would say Temple of Doom.
I guess. But those movies aren't great. Like, Creed was like...
Oh, fuck you. Indiana Jones is way better than any Rocky.
But you would like... Wasn't Creed nominated for awards?
Yeah, and so was so was Rocky, but Indiana Jones.
Rocky won.
Great.
Best Picture.
Did it win? I don't think
it won. Best Picture, like 78.
Are you sure?
Or screenplay.
Are you sure it didn't win Best Original Screenplay? Because I think in the 70s, like, actual good movies never won anything. Like, that's the thing. People who complain about the Oscars today don't realize is that back in the day, the movies that people actually liked and also were really good never won. Like... it couldn't be either
Best Picture
or
it won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Film Editing. Stallone was nominated for Best Actor.
Man, little did they know.
And Burgess Meredith and Burt Young were nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, they both deserve that more than I don't think
Sylvester. But won Best Picture.
I don't think Sylvester deserved a Best Actor nomination. That's kind of fucking nuts.
You know what? It's still better than, like, half the movies that win the... like, Rocky's better than Crash.
Oh, if we're comparing it to movies that have won an Academy Award, jeez.
Yeah.
It's one of the great... it's the best
movie. I mean, it's better than Forrest Gump.
Fuck, my left testicle being
built. It's overrated shit. Forrest Gump. Like how do you have a movie like... And then this happened during my life.
What's
the Andy Dufresne movie? I'm blaming Shawshank Redemption. Like, if Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank didn't win.
Yeah,
Shawshank didn't win.
Forrest Gump won over it. Shawshank's one of the best.
They won
movies
over Pulp Fiction.
Like,
Pulp Fiction was the same year.
And Pulp Fiction. Well, there you go. Won over those two.
Is Pulp Fiction one of those movies that's slowly losing cred? Like, are people like starting to get irritated with Quentin Tarantino movies?
I think so. We'll see how that
starting to, like, reevaluate.
We'll see. He's doing like the Charles Manson movie or something, right?
Charles Manson. Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
I don't, like, Helter Skelter might be the name or something.
I've never understood why people were so fascinated.
Well, because it happened in Hollywood, so, like, it's interesting in their bubble.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's one dude who killed a couple of people. Like, he didn't even kill a lot of people.
I think the most fascinating thing, like, have you ever heard the story about how they lived in, who's the other Beach Boy Wilson? Brian Wilson's, like, brother? The drummer?
I'm not big on the Beach
Boys. Well, I just lived in his house for like 2 months because like he picked up two girls that were hitchhiking that were with the Manson family, and like next thing he knew, Charles Manson's just in his fucking house. And like he was about to ask, he was like too scared to ask them to leave or something like that. They finally moved out. That's the only good part about the Manson story, basically, and like his childhood. Like he had a pretty fucked up life.
Whoa! You mean the murder cult leader did not have a great childhood?
You'll be shocked to find out that his mother may or may not have been like a prostitute, and his father wasn't there. And get this, Dan. He was raised by the state for the most part, so. While the kid in foster care maybe didn't come out well adjusted. Weird how that happens.
Speaking of kids coming out well adjusted, do you see that statistic that millennials have the lowest divorce rate?
Yeah, those millennial women.
By like a lot. By a lot. It's like the divorce rate is like a tenth.
Well, because no one gets married.
That is the one thing that has me thinking that, well, millennials have waited so long to get married that they're, like, all waiting until they're 35, which means they'll all get divorced at 50.
I think some of that, and, like, it's too expensive. Like, you just when you're both in tens of thousand dollars in debt from college until your 40s, you probably don't have the room to get divorced.
But you'd also think that, like, I mean, the number one cause of divorce is money problems.
Mm.
So maybe, you know,
I think that's a lot. The number one cause of divorce is like you get tired of fucking each other. That's the real, like, no one just wants to say it. But like that's the real cause. Like you stop having sex and you're like, why am I with this awful person? I'm not even like banging them.
Well,
and then what's the point?
I think there's a lot of senior citizens who would maybe disagree with that, but
because they're too pussy to get divorced, Dan. And maybe they still fuck. I don't know.
I just know that, like, the number one reason cited on divorces
is... I just think the real reason is they're not fucking.
You don't think that it's because...
How many Italians get divorced, Dan?
Quite a few, I think.
I bet they don't, because they keep fucking. Because the porn is so good! I can't believe her! I would like to look into that stat. That might be something we send the research team out for.
I just think it's because they're waiting so much longer
to have sex.
And I would say the other thing is that older generations like getting married because this is the first person you've had
Are you knocked this person up and you have to and you really didn't want to, and now with birth control you can be like, well, whatever. And now that we have this thing called condoms, I don't think those were around in the early 1900s.
Sheepskin.
Yeah. And the sheep, have you ever seen a sheepskin? It's got holes everywhere, Dan. Stupid.
I didn't know that.
So, did you get a chance to, you saw the games last week or not, Dan?
I did. Last week was my first weekend.
Well, let's start with some of the weird upsets. Did you get a chance to see the Twitch stream of Oklahoma Army? From the guy's cell phone.
You won't see my feet?
My arm's getting tired.
That was a very strange moment.
Yeah.
That was a very strange moment.
That was the best part of that game. It wasn't like what could happen with it, because you couldn't see the fucking TV. You had no idea what was going on. But you didn't know what the fuck that guy was going to like pull out next. You know, like, is it going to be a dead body in the corner?
Hey, y'all won't see my foot porn?
what do you take from that game, though? Is that just like a weird Oklahoma slip-up? Or is Oklahoma maybe not as good as we thought?
I think, one, their defense sucks. No. I mean, and we've known that. That's not
new. And I think, just to interrupt you, like, I think Army team's pretty decent for an Army team, and, like, well, they're going to try hard, you know?
Well, look, there was an article on SB Nation by Bud Elliott, you know, the recruiting/Florida State/gambling guru over at SB Nation. And he was saying, like, the number one smartest money pick in all of sports is an option team versus a big spread. Always take the option. Because, one, they shorten the game, so it's hard to cover a big spread. And, shit, fire, Army did that to Oklahoma. Yeah. Oklahoma only ended up having the ball for 15 minutes?
Army beat Hawaii, too. Who's didn't look great on Saturday. Luckily, no one saw that game because it started like at 1. And it was
Army won. Jeff Monken. Jeff Monken as their head coach is a little bit different from some of the other option guys in that he's a defensive minded coach who used to be a defensive coordinator for Paul Johnson, and then ended up, you know, at Georgia Southern as their head coach. But he's a defensive coach first and foremost who looked at the option and said, well, this is a good offense to pair and keep my defense off the field.
Yeah.
So that my defense can be fresh and rested. So, but because he's a defensive coach, he's able to give them some stuff, some matchup advantages, some schematic advantages on the defensive end that some of the other option teams just don't always have.
Yeah. So besides that, besides Old Dominion Von Tech, what was like one of your bigger upsets this week? And what some may call upset Saturday, I'm not doing that.
I mean, the fact that it's not necessarily it's definitely not an upset because they were favored, but the fact that Oregon couldn't hold that lead was
too colossal.
Definitely upsetting to me.
Like, two major blown things by Oregon in that game because they blew a lead and then, like, blew it again, essentially.
And I think a lot of it comes down to they couldn't handle the fact that the referees jobbed them.
Yeah.
Like, there's just, I think there's some of that is just their team was not emotionally tough enough to handle getting screwed on a bad call.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, especially if you're going to play in the Pac-12, that's something you got to be able to handle.
Yeah. I thought one of the biggest shocks of the week, I thought, was Kentucky, like, walloping Mississippi State.
It wasn't even close.
Yeah. So, we've got to rank Kentucky teams.
They just whipped them like they stole some.
So, how quick, then, do you expect Kentucky to blow this?
Oh, who are they playing?
South Carolina.
Yeah, this week.
Yeah. Right, like this isn't going to ride into the Georgia game, right?
No.
You're Kentucky.
No, Muschamp lives to like crush the soul of people who finally think they found happiness. Yeah. Like that is Will Muschamp's soulless destruction football. It's like, oh, I'm finally happy for the first time. Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Foghorn turns up. The Will Muschamp foghorn turns.
He's like some horrible. Like Marvel villain that just exists.
Some third tier Daredevil villain from like.
But then for some reason, like they write him to like kill Superman, who's not even on the same company. It's
yeah, he's the one who killed Captain America.
Yeah,
and it's like, wait, what?
This?
Huh. Okay.
Like Spider-Man, this guy was too low for Spider-Man. Let's see. Anything else last week that kind of popped out to you? Besides, if you're Iowa, are you holding your head up from that game, or you're kind of like, wow, we really fucked this up. We could have probably beaten
them. Yeah, that punt, that botched punt thing, or the guy let the thing hit his foot, and that gave us, because like, I think I was not going to be like, oh, we had a great showing. They're going to be like, we were better than them. And we just blew our shot to win the Big
10 West. But that's what Wisconsin kind of has to do to win the Big 10 West. Is that work? Or is it still Leaders Legends, or is it West and East?
No, it's the Big 10 West. Okay. They surrendered to geography finally.
Kind of.
They realized
not to math.
They realized that whole, hey, maybe we can get, like, Michigan, Ohio State rematch was like, one, not even good because it kind of cheapens the rivalry because it's such a big game. But it's like, oh, came down to the last minute. What a close game. And let's do it again next week. Like, it just sort of cheapens the whole thing.
Yeah.
Be like doing the Iron Bowl twice in a row.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, that's not a great idea.
Or, like, even back in the, like, Florida, Georgia. You don't want to see them play again in the SEC Championship. Because, like, when those teams are humming, that's a really important game that kind of determines how November's going to go.
But
you wouldn't want to see Dan like Vandy, Kentucky play again in the SEC Championship.
I would actually love to see that again. I would love to see those two fan bases in Atlanta for the first time.
Like another made up SEC? Like, you know, you don't want to see Mizzou and A&M.
Ole Miss and Vanderbilt's pretty made up.
Who's Mizzou's rival? Like Arkansas?
Arkansas. Arkansas is so desperate to have a rival that they may actually like talk themselves into that being a
rival. Well, A&M's their national rival.
Yeah.
Texans hate Arkansas,
an old rivalry from the Southwest Conference.
But no, but that's like a state rivalry. Like, people in Texas don't like people in Arkansas. It's like...
It was a rivalry. Yeah. I'm saying it used to be
before
a rivalry
NAFTA.
And they didn't play for so long.
Before NAFTA and all the factories left.
It was a rivalry when they were both in the Southwest Conference, and then Arkansas left, and it, you know, they didn't play each other for like 30 years.
So yeah, nothing else besides Tennessee's really bad.
I would say one of the things is like I thought Scott Frost would be able to get more out of Nebraska.
I was shocked. I don't know if you listened last week, but I said kind of avoid that
culture
game.
Culture problems.
But yeah. Nebraska's like, in a lot of trouble.
One, Michigan is, they're going to pound the shit out of every mediocre team they play this year. Whether they'll be able to actually beat, you know, Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Ohio State, I don't think they're going to beat Ohio State. I mean, I just don't see it, but I mean, if they should beat Michigan State, they probably should beat Penn State, and they should definitely beat Michigan State, they should probably beat Wisconsin, they should probably beat Penn State, they almost definitely won't beat Ohio State, the way this season's going so far.
And even Penn State, the thing with Penn State is like, you know, what happens when Penn State throws 15 on them really quick? Could Michigan respond? And I don't think they could.
Well, I mean, they ran for a lot of damn. I mean, Penn State's defense hasn't looked very good.
But I think another thing, though. Well, you know what? They look good on Friday, Dan, because they fucking covered, and that was a miracle to me. As I watched Friday at work, thinking, "Oh, I just lost a bunch of money," but they really pulled off a backdoor cover there and got the over. So, hail Penn State.
But I just can't. I can't understand. Well, I guess I can. Like, you think about Nebraska. Like, say you're a junior, a redshirt junior or a senior on that team. One, you were recruited by Bo Pelini, which seems like forever ago, but is true. Like, Bo Pelini recruited most of these guys who are upperclassmen. You weren't exactly happy about your coach being fired because Bo Pelini, most of the players and people in that program thought that was bullshit. The fans wanted him gone. But the players all thought this is absolute horseshit. We win like 9 games every year. What the hell are you doing? So the coach who recruited you was fired for seemingly no reason. He got replaced with a guy who was completely incompetent, but who was super nice to you and didn't make you work hard at all. It was basically like the substitute teacher who's just like, this is definitely not. I'm definitely not learning anything, but at least this is pretty cool. He brings pizza every day. Now you've got a hard ass who all the fans who fired the guy you came to love. So, you know, there might be a little bit of resentment that the fans all liked this guy, didn't like your guy. And then on top of that, he's making you bust your ass, and it's totally different. You're now changing systems again for the third time in your career. And he's trying to work in mostly freshmen. Because he's building for the future, and it just seems like they've got major, major issues with their culture.
Yeah.
And, like, guys just being like, fuck this, I'm not...
But that's got to get rooted. Like, Nebraska's in that same position that, say, a Tennessee or whatever else was. Even. It's going to take a couple of years.
Well, it didn't happen with
Michigan. Michigan's always going to have, like, a better talent pool. Like, maybe Notre Dame might be a better example.
I'm just saying, like, from Brady Hoke to Jim Harbaugh, you would be surprised at how easy that transition was. Like, you would think some guys would be pissed off because Brady Hoke...
Well, I'm talking seasons. More talent-wise. I mean, how good were those guys at Nebraska, really, even?
Yeah,
like, if Bo Pelini thought you
way
were good.
Down. Well, Bo Pelini did a decent job recruiting. The issue was Riley. Right? That Mike Riley hire is going to go down as one of the all-time, like, what the fuck were you even, like, what, like, how could you have thought that was a good idea?
I want to switch back to the ACC really quick.
Oh, do we have
to? And I want to talk this.
My poor port. You want to talk about how good NC State looked
this
weekend?
I want to talk about this. Your boy, Paul Johnson. Is he going to retire or get fired first? What's going to happen? Because
he'll retire.
It's pretty clear Paul Johnson's quit. Like, that whole team's quit. They don't care.
Well, it's not so much that they've quit, it's that the rule changes have fucked them. Like, this year they unveiled a new rule that said you can't cut block more than 5 yards downfield.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's you really hurt his
you
offense.
You can't destroy these unpaid interns' knees, essentially.
Well, that's horseshit.
It's true.
Like, if you're allowed as a defensive guy to fucking tackle a guy below the knee, like, why is
it? Because you don't see it coming.
All this is like a lot of coaches hate that offense, and they want to legislate it.
But you say that, but like fucking Army's competing with Oklahoma.
But Army plays like they run a similar offense. It is similar, but it's a very they have a different philosophy. They're not trying to score points; they're just trying to eat clock. Yeah. And that's a little bit
different. Yeah. And it looks like Georgia Tech's philosophy, Dan, is eat cock right now. That's what they're doing.
Georgia Tech is trying to get big plays all the time and trying to score points quickly. And they can't do it without being able to cut block downfield.
But who can we start speculating? What does Tech do post Paul Johnson?
Well, that could be a very attractive job because, you know, other than USC, which is a possibility and definitely it is no definite for sure USC job's going to come up with. But that is the most potentially attractive job hire.
We can talk about this later in the season. Not really a lot, because we maybe thought LSU would be open. Looks like
there's a lot of big jobs that have been filled.
Because like LSU's probably not coming open this year, unless it's a major collapse. But I don't think that's coming.
I don't think LSU's coming open until that AD's gone. Yeah. Like that's when like I think he'll get fired before.
But if things
go off the rails at LSU, that AD will get fired before he does.
You know, Texas ain't opening it up. Florida is. You know, like
Texas Tech is not a better job. Yeah. It could open up, but it might not because they just had a big win.
But even like it looks like a Tennessee's not open, like a South Carolina, not even like these like. Weird niche.
South Carolina's not a better job.
Oh, no, but like it's. But there's potential there to do well in South Carolina. Especially with the transfer rule.
There's much less potential at South Carolina.
I think with the new transfer rule, though, like if I'm South Carolina, I'm talking to Clemson guys a lot right now. So, oh, you're not starting as a freshman? Come here. You can start over here, buddy. We suck.
Yeah. I mean, I just think Georgia Tech. I mean, I think there's a lot of coaches.
Well, I think Dan, the issue with Tech, though, Tech will always be held back. A, because it ain't easy to get into, necessarily. But B, they don't really spend money on football. That stadium sucks. They won't hire good coaches.
That's the thing. Well, the stadium's not a... I mean, there's...
That stadium sucks. That's one of the worst. And the fucking... And the atmosphere at Tech. Like, look, if you go to a Tech game, Dan, and look around, I mean, there are people studying.
I don't think that's fair. I think Paul Johnson does not play a very user-friendly style of football, let's say. So I'm not sure we know what Georgia Tech.
I just don't think there's the excitement. Like I'm a firm believer that somehow Georgia State will overtake Tech in Atlanta in 10 years.
That's never
in 10 years.
That's literally never going to happen.
10 years. It'll be a historically black college, and they'll be much more successful than Tech.
Georgia State's not historically.
They will be though. It's like 80%.
Well, they can't. You cannot become historically.
Yes, that's how it works. They will become historic. And it's like 80% black already. Like at some point, it's
I'm not sure that's true.
It's pretty. I think they have more black students than like any other college or something like that. I may have made that up. There's a kernel of truth in there somewhere.
Why would black students choose to go to Georgia State instead of one of like the 47 actually prestigious historically black?
Well, because it's easier to get into. And Georgia State owns the old junior colleges or community colleges that were around Atlanta. So it's like super, like for a while you could transfer in there with like a 2.8 or something out of community college, which is ridiculous. So, and like if you're going to transfer as a regular student, I think it's like a 3, which is pretty easy for transfer. And they play in a better stadium. They play in an Olympic stadium, Dan. People forget that.
That is almost completely empty. I mean, I don't think that any of the problems with Georgia's tech or like facilities or any. Well, they do. They are lagging behind.
Well, I mean, if you're going to go to, that's what, if you're a kid in Georgia, though, where are you going to go? Like, would you rather go to
a million different places?
Yeah, because Georgia's there, but then there's Clemson, there's Tennessee, Alabama, there's Auburn, UN. Like Florida,
there's Alabama, or there's LSU,
why would you stay?
There's NC State.
So why would you stay and go to Tech? You know,
because it's in Atlanta. Those other schools aren't actually.
But you
in
come
Atlanta,
back,
and that's an advantage.
No, you'll come back to Atlanta once you get your
why
degree.
Why come back when you can live there?
Well, like, I think everyone wants to get away from their hometown for a little bit, Dave. I think people forget that deciding factor when it's like, oh, all these people are from Atlanta. Why don't they get all these people? And it's like, eh. Like, don't you kind of want to leave college? Like, leave your town in college for, like, 4 years?
I just think Georgia Tech, it just depends on what they want, what that school wants to be. Do they want to have elite football or
no? No, well,
because if they do, they're gonna have to spend.
Yeah.
More money.
Well, the thing is, Tech should have but they should be a basketball school.
But they're not.
But they should. Like, there's enough talent in that area, and like, it's way easier to be a basketball school in Atlanta. Yes.
Is there?
Yeah.
I feel like everybody in Atlanta plays football.
I think there's better basketball talent coming up, though. It's there. I mean, you could have gotten,
like, if you're a good athlete, you play football.
Oh, yeah.
Like, basketball is what you do if you weren't good enough to make football.
But, like, it'd still be easier to be a good basketball program than football, I think, for Tech.
I mean, I don't think so. I think there's so many teams ahead of them in the ACC. That's a tough
one. Who's really ahead, though? UNC, like,
Syracuse,
in terms of second tier.
Notre Dame.
I forgot about Notre Dame. But there's no reason they couldn't be as good as, like, NC State.
NC State's won multiple national titles. Boy.
Well, Tech's won. I thought Tech, they went to a Final
Never.
Four.
Tech made a Final Four, and they had Chris Bosh and Jared Jack. And
no, they had, what was the white guy's name? Schindler?
I cannot remember. They had a white guy, and that's the one everybody talked about in college.
He had a posse.
Because, I don't know, there's something about college, there's something about the college basketball media that's just, I don't know, they tend to focus on certain players.
Well, it's just, he's real gritty out. He looks like he's trying, unlike that Chris Bosh guy.
He's got a coach's son mentality.
Yeah.
And that he's not very good, but he's starting for some reason.
Anything else from last week? I want to, our deep dive game from last week, Arizona State, Washington. I thought Arizona State, they kept it close. They did about as good as they could have, I think, against a playoff team.
Yeah. Herm Edwards, the new leadership model. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we didn't get to do our Pac-12 preview this year, or else we would have looked stupid. I would have looked
still
shitting all over the new leadership
model. It's still coming, Dan. Yeah. In December. We'll give you a Pac-12 preview. Yeah, I mean, that was a game. I was supposed to do the deep dive, but I assumed you wouldn't be able to talk about it, and I ended up watching Wisconsin, Iowa, I think, instead.
I just can't.
I'm all in on Big Ten football now.
So you're just really into, like, using the tight end on
it. Yeah, I'm really into just awful, boring games that, like, aren't good.
Like, when he does that slice block, you know, take advantage of how many times you run that slice block.
I want to watch games, Dan, that literally are just 0-0 into the last 2 minutes, and teams like, oh, we can throw? Like, that's the only reason Penn State, like, hasn't lost so many games. It's because these Big Ten teams are like, they're doing what with the ball? What is this? Forward pass? I don't know about that.
I like how Michigan is killing people because they're running, like, a very basic, like, counter play to power. Where, like, you pull the front side ball.
What is this trickery? Why aren't you just running ISO up the middle every time? Good sir.
Like, you pull, like, instead of pulling the backside guard on a regular power O play, they pull the front side guard and block zone on the back end. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see how that works when you're playing in a tornado. The Big Ten championship. You know, Dan, I don't know if you heard about this. The Big Ten championship game, they're just going to simulate bad weather in the dome this year.
That is my favorite thing that Big Ten people whine about. Well, it's the fucking the Bulls are not fair to us because, like, football's supposed to be played outside. These fucking SEC teams, they get to play in good weather for bowl games. It's not fair. As if, like, the entire history of football hasn't
been. Yeah, well, and it's also, like,
we play our big games on a neutral site.
And, like, it's, and the other thing, too, like, it's different weather, but, like, playing in Baton Rouge at 3:30 ain't exactly fun. Like, I know it's not raining, but
what did Big Ten people whine about more than anything? It's like, you're gonna hurt the value of the Rose Bowl. Oh, you mean the one time of the year all you people get to go to a sunny place?
And like, no one cares. And
you're just like, don't take away our one trip to the sun.
Yeah. And here's a hard truth, Big Ten pack. No one gives a fuck about the Rose Bowl. The fucking parade's stupid. I don't care. Fuck the Rose Bowl. It's not important. It means that it's not as important as the Chick-fil-A Bowl, the real important bowl.
I mean, I just wish we got rid of all. My feeling about bowls is we'd all be happier if we moved them to the front of the year, and then the Big Ten and the Pac-12 champion from the year before could play each other in the first week of the season. All the matchups could be fixed, and then, you know, everybody'd be happy. And then we could just have a more playoff.
No playoffs. Just all bowl. I think the whole season should just be various bowls.
I just want like a 16-team playoff.
Well,
and then
can they all be the Outback?
The whole first week is bowl.
Can they all be like the Outback Bowl?
Yeah.
Like every game, yes.
Has to be the Bloomin' Onion.
Every game. So be the Outback Bowl or like the Bitcoin Bowl or whatever the fuck it was last year.
That was the Tampa Bowl, the one that they play in that horrible fucking
Raymond James
baseball stadium.
Oh
no, the baseball stadium. They played in
Tropicana. That's right. The best the
Bitcoin
the,
Bowl was.
Yeah, I love the Pinstripe Bowl.
That used to be the Beef O'Brady Bowl, by the way.
I like the Pinstripe Bowl. Because it's like, who would love to go to New York in the middle of fucking January and sit in a baseball stadium? Like, no thanks.
In the freezing cold.
Freezing cold.
It almost always snows.
And it's always just like Notre Dame in it when they win six games, right? Like, that's like the rule.
Yeah, if Notre Dame has a bad season, then...
It's like Notre Dame can win two games in the Pinstripe Bowl. It's like, they're in. It's like an automatic bid for Notre Dame.
Did you see they're wearing New York Yankees-inspired jerseys this year?
Are they going to play That's in good. Yankee Stadium? They did that like a few years ago, right?
I remember they played Syracuse there.
Yankee Night.
I think that they've also played in the Metal, well, whatever they call the Meadowlands.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it is just the Meadowlands. I don't think they have a...
The new Meadowlands?
The new Meadowlands.
Just like my favorite WWF tag team, the New Blackjacks.
Oh, well, a little breaking news, Dan. Did you see where the Royal Rumble is going to be this year?
Madison Square Garden.
Bigger. Chase Field in Arizona.
I mean, I'm
for that. That's what they should... The Rumble's the funnest event.
I think all of their big four pay-per-views should be in
stadiums. Yeah, and just be like cons.
Fuck it.
Except SummerSlam, because it's fucking hot. Unless it's in a dome, I guess.
I mean, that's when all the other... if you go back into the history of wrestling, all the big stadium shows always used to be in the summer.
Yeah. Well, no, almost to be in the heat.
When the kids were off from school.
But that doesn't matter now. Because there's no kids going. there are no children
involved. They can't afford the fucking tickets anymore. Yeah. It's all a bunch of fucking neckbeards.
Yeah. Well, I will say, like, the Rumble, though, if I had to take, like a non-wrestling fan friend to any event, it'd probably be the Rumble over anything else. You get to count down. It's the funnest thing in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing like
it. It's better than WrestleMania, if you ask me.
It's also not as long.
Yeah, that's the advantage.
Or is it going to be?
I mean, they're all like 7 hours now or something. So I'm hyped for the Saudi Arabia show.
The return of Shawn Michaels. Yes.
Well, mostly so wrestling fans can continue to like be like, well, this is offensive. Meanwhile, like, giving more money to, like, Sinclair and the fucking Japanese.
I don't know why you always treat the Japanese like they're the fucking Hirohito is Japanese.
Because they're all Japanese.
They burned Pearl Harbor.
They banned Paul you can't even do drugs in Japan. Fuck that country. Oh, you smoked weed. You're in prison for life. Fuck that. That's just as bad as Saudi Arabia.
Culture.
It is. It is. It's just as bad.
It isn't.
You can't even fuck it. And everyone, like, is a pedophile there. Just like Saudi Arabia. I don't know
if everyone's a pedophile.
Most people in Japan are
pedophiles. I think that's a stretch.
I would argue.
I mean, the most of the data shows that everyone in Japan, like, nobody in Japan fucks.
Yeah, because they're all jerking off to little girls' panties. Because they're all pedophiles. Even the women are pedophiles.
I'm not sure.
We've lost our Japan sponsorship, Dan. I just got to text you.
That's my favorite 80s storyline, where it's like, oh man, the Japanese are coming for our business meeting. We're going to merge with the Japanese. You can always tell how old a writer is.
Well, Seinfeld had that, right?
If they do a storyline about, ooh, we're going to do business with the Japanese. It's like, Jesus, fuck.
I think Trump talked about that today, Japanese. I don't know if you heard that. That was my favorite part of the speech today. Or the ramblings. When he was like, Japan, they want us to be the military for them. And it's like, well, no, we have to be there. We don't let them have a military, fucker.
Like it's been very successful con job by us for 70 years, keeping them from having a military. Yeah.
Like Japan's just like, oh, we would do it, but we'd rather you guys. It's like, well, no, we don't fucking let them. Because, like, if we did, they would have fucking mechs that are raping our children with tentacles. Japan's weird. I'm not going to stand for Japan. That's my main point.
I mean,
fuck them.
You know, if we let Japan have an army, they would just make the Big O. Which was my favorite
anime. Dan, do you mean the Big O, Overstock.com, where if you use promo code Coughlin, you get 50% off shipping? Does that still exist?
I'm not sure.
You remember those commercials?
I think they changed their name.
Yeah, but it was like, when it came out, like, I was like a kid still-ish or something, or like maybe just hitting puberty. It's like you're watching TV with your mom, and it's like they're alluding to orgasms, and you're just like, I don't need this, man.
That was before.
You know, like, this is fucking Disney Channel. What do we do?
I don't remember that.
The Big O? It was like that. It was like women talking about, like, do you not have the Big O yet?
Well, now we have those, now we have those Slingbok commercials. Oh, right, which make us think of all of our parents being swingers.
Yeah. That owns. So.
I love how every one of them goes, oh, I thought we were gonna. And then they're like, you really, like, that's what you thought. Carol from the fucking marketing department was inviting you over.
You never know. You never know what these people mean. They're white. So that's the first thing. Like, white people are crazy.
I feel like most people.
I knew some.
When they're inviting you to swing, they don't. It's not. There's not.
How do they? I wouldn't. I've never been invited to swing.
I haven't either.
Just two fucking losers.
Although we're not married, though, that's the issue. That's a
no. Don't they have like a dude
much like 40-year-old marriage?
I thought like at swinger parties they hire like just one giant black man to fuck people.
I think you have misconceptions about how this works.
I just. You would think that's there.
Would you?
I would. I would hire a big black guy at my swingers party.
I really think there's no hiring of any kind.
I would, though. I would make sure I get a top flight guy, though. You know? Like, go down. You just head down to the market. You head down to Charleston to the market by the bay, and you just find like a big, strong black guy. Come to your swingers party.
Sure.
What do they call it? The market. I don't think there's anything before that. It's just like a market in Charleston where they sell stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
Stuff like that. Let's jump into the games this week. All lines are live and on Bovada.lv. So let's start. Are you interested in any of these Thursday games? Because I'm not, but.
Remind me. Wait, this thing won't be up in time.
Yeah, fuck them. Well, like, ones like UNC Miami, I don't care. Friday, Memphis, Tulane, UCLA, Colorado.
I will watch
that. Let's start with this one. UCLA, Colorado on Friday night, 9 o'clock. Colorado is favored by 9.5. I'm locking that up. That's a lot. Colorado's going to kill UCLA. Colorado's good.
UCLA's terrible.
It's kind of good.
Colorado is adequate, and UCLA is whatever the opposite of adequate is.
Next up, how about this one? West Virginia, Texas Tech on Saturday. West Virginia favored by 4. feel like I haven't heard anything about West Virginia in like a month. Were they just not playing football, or what's the deal?
They got the best quarterback in the Big 12.
You think they're gonna beat Texas Tech by 4?
Yes.
I like that one too. All right, a rematch from last year: Syracuse at Clemson. Clemson once again without Kelly Bryant. Clemson favored by 25.
Whew. Yeah, they're not going to take them for granted.
No, I think if it's like they didn't beat them last year, maybe I'm kind of looking at 25 considering it. But like, I don't know, Clemson got the job done versus Tech last week. Beat them by like 20 or 30, I think.
Tech might be busted.
Yeah.
Plus, Clemson always beats the shit out of Tech. Because, like, Brett Venables ran the option in high school as a quarterback. And it's like, none of that shit ever works against Clemson.
What about, this might be an interesting one. Georgia Tech favored by 28.5 versus Bowling Green.
Who?
Bowling Green.
And who they play?
Georgia Tech.
Man, if Georgia Tech can't blow them out, it
is that what are you putting that like in a wacky parlay? Maybe
they should beat Bowling Green by 100.
They should.
If they can't beat Pittsburgh, then it's time. Bowling Green is maybe the worst team in FBS though. Like, and usually when Georgia Tech plays a team that is like inferior talent wise to them, they usually annihilate them. Because if you can't even out-talent them, you're usually screwed.
I'm putting Bowling Green in a weird parlay there. I'm not going to put that out right. But I'm going to put them in a weird one where I can hit some money. I'm not sold on it. I'm going to keep betting against Tech until it proves not to be.
Yeah, I mean, that's not
like,
crazy.
The thing with Tech is like, yeah, maybe years past they do, but like this team's quit. The coach has quit. I think that's not like he's ready to go play golf every day.
I feel like he's gonna not. I think he'll take a year off and then go back to Georgia Southern. I don't see him retiring.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe like an AD or something.
Taking like a low level. I see him taking a low level job.
But I think like maybe in the office. I could see me like.
I mean, I could see if like Niamatololo gets hired by an FBS team, he could go back to Navy, and I wouldn't be shocked.
Look like 80 at Georgia Southern.
I mean, I think they'd love to
have him. I don't think you want him as 80, but maybe like in a position like that. I think that's where you'll see Paul Johnson next. I mean, he's fucking old. He's like 74.
Is he? He's not 70. He's not.
I think
even
he's
60, 70.
He's like in his 70s.
No, he isn't.
Pretty sure you're wrong.
So, I'm pretty sure. Look
this up because I've got the lines.
He is definitely less than 65. Look up.
What's the hint?
I think
what's Google
like
saying?
61. I would say 61. Hold on, I turned my phone off because I'm respectful of the audience.
What's your first mistake, Dan? What? I'm scores in front of me. I can't look it up right now. While we do that, let's move on. A&M, Arkansas, at AT&T Stadium in beautiful Arlington, Texas. A&M's favored by 21.5. Arkansas kind of sucks. They looked better versus Auburn, I think, last week. They got 3 points. I kind of really want to take Arkansas here. Because I think A&M's pretty bummed out after Alabama was like, oh, no, you're not good at football. You just got lucky versus Clemson. Like, you're not a good football team. We're going to just...
There's also that... I nailed it!
What is he?
He's 61 years old.
He looks like he's 70.
He's looked that way his whole life. He looked that way when he was 40.
Just saying. Maybe it's time for him to retire. 60.
He's not
60 is pretty old.
Yeah, I think he'll be the athletic director of Georgia Southern.
There you go. What do you like in Arkansas A&M, though? You think Arkansas is going to come?
Arkansas is terrible, though. That's
what do you think
A&M
is going to be so like hurt in their feelings that like Alabama like literally just destroyed them on Saturday?
Well, I don't know if hurt feelings. There is that the body blow theory, where it's like they got beat up so bad that
when they thought they were going to have a chance, no one else did. Yeah. But I think A&M really thought it was like, well, we push Clemson.
Man, they can't be that stupid.
This is. Do we need to watch the fish camp video again to see how dumb these people are? I mean, this is a school that has the collective brain of a golden retriever.
This is
true. I might put Arkansas in my Bowling Green.
The most optimistic program in the SEC.
I'm putting Arkansas in my Bowling Green parlay. And, like, I don't think it's going to hit, but I'm going to put $2 on it to win, like, 10.
I think that's what I'm doing there. Next up, then, Virginia, NC State. NC State favored by 5.5. He said they looked better last week, but Virginia looking decent too, right?
Or that quarterback is.
Yeah, Virginia's starting to look like something. Bronco Mendenhall, you know, slowly starting to bring them along. I would still think this is a game that NC State should win, just based on talent differential. Hmm.
This one, Georgia favored by 31.5 versus Tennessee.
Yeah, take Georgia. Yeah. Tennessee is.
Yeah, bust. Georgia struggled. You would think, oh, Georgia struggled versus Missouri is their trouble, but I think Missouri has a way better quarterback than Tennessee does.
They have a much better everything than Tennessee does.
But is this not maybe a game where. Doesn't this seem to usually be the game every year where Tennessee shows, like, a little bit of life?
No, I guess it's Georgia. It's not
okay.
Gonna be.
Let's see, let's move on. Texas, Kansas State. Texas favored by 9.
Yeah, take Texas. Kansas State is the most. People talking about Paul Johnson being forced out, they need to be talking about Bill Snyder. That team is putrid. They are pathetic.
Speaking of pathetic, Purdue, Nebraska. Purdue's favored by 4. Give me Purdue all day.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. Like, Nebraska just looks like a team that's already, like, thrown in the towel. Yeah. Like the veterans are just sick of having to work hard. They're like, fuck
yeah,
this.
Yeah, it's not going to be until Nebraska probably benches some seniors and starts just playing the young guns that they're going to show some life again, I think.
Yeah, I think they just need to clear out.
Yeah. Next up, remember when this game felt important? Florida State, Louisville. Florida State's favored by a touchdown.
God. Man, Willie Taggart.
Remember 2 years ago, Dan, when this was like the biggest game ever? Or was it 2 or 3 years
Willie
ago?
Willie Taggart shouldn't be facing any shit, considering what Jimbo Fisher left him. But if they don't wallop Louisville, he's going to catch some shit.
I'm not touching that one. I don't know. Both those teams kind of suck.
Louisville is pathetic. Yeah. I mean, that's a job that is probably should be over.
Yeah, but you,
like the Louisville.
But
job
is there? But you know what? Do you really want to go there? Because is the money going to be there? Because you just lost. You lost Papa John, who whatever. But he gave him a shit ton of money.
But you got ACC money.
That's
now.
True.
Like that's the difference.
But are you
going to
have sanctions from the Nike or the Patino shit?
Adidas. Well, I mean, that shouldn't affect football.
Well, I wonder if it bleeds over, though, when they start looking.
It shouldn't, because all that stuff, I mean, all the shoe stuff was
okay.
Basketball.
How about this one here? Pitts?
I mean, obviously, Jeff Brohm is who they're going to be targeting, but it might be a little early for Brohm.
What about this one, Dan? Pittsburgh at UCF. UCF's favored by 2 scores. Is Central Florida the best team in the ACC? Even though they're not in it,
they're not better than Clemson, but they're probably
they would play Clemson in the ACC like right now, right? If they were in the ACC,
if they were in the Coastal, they would be in. They would be in Charlotte, playing for the championship.
Because Central Florida hasn't lost a step. Seems like this is a pretty good team they've got going here. I don't know if it's going to be good in 2 years, but this group of guys they have are pretty good. I think that's fair to say.
That is fair.
How about this Old Dominion? Catching 7.5 at East Carolina. Will Old Dominion keep up this streak?
Well, they were maybe the worst team in FBS until they beat Virginia Tech, so I doubt it.
No, you don't think a confidence kind of thing here?
Well, they might beat East Carolina. East Carolina.
Well, you know, the money line's plus 230. So, hop on that, baby.
Definitely.
How about, I think this might be the low-key kind of upset lock of the week. Coastal Carolina catching 14 at Troy.
That is a gutsy play on your part for calling that an upset pick.
I think Coastal Carolina, aren't they better than people think?
with the CEO?
They have not shown it.
I thought they had a big win earlier.
They have not done much at the FBS level. Now obviously they're having to get their full scholarships up. You know, they're having to gear everything up, and they were a playoff team at the FBS level, but they were a playoff team from a bad conference. Okay. So I'm not sure this was definitely not as smooth a transition as Appalachian or Georgia Southern, who are national championship.
But they have a real life, like, what, CEO as their coach.
Yeah, Joe Moglia, yeah. Former CEO of TD Ameritrade, still their chairman.
Yeah. So give me that. Give me the CEO. You get it done. How about this one? Southern Miss catching...
That's very boomer of you. He's a CEO.
Hire him. Southern Miss catching 27 at Auburn. Auburn covered versus Arkansas last week, but wasn't because of the offense. Southern Miss is probably better than Arkansas. Is this maybe a sneaky catching 27 here with an Auburn team who's looking kind of rough?
I'd take the points because, yeah. I mean, Auburn strikes me as the kind of team who just goes, oh, it's just Southern Miss, and then not... Go all the way.
This is going to be like, I could see Southern Miss, like, this will be like a late cover if it happens. If that makes sense. Like, maybe Auburn's up 3 to 4 scores in the fourth and Southern Miss gets a couple at the end. Because I don't think Auburn's offense is good enough to score like 50. So I could see this being like 30-7 going into the fourth and like a couple of touchdowns changes that. In the battle of annoying alumni, especially if they're journalists, Michigan at Northwestern, Michigan favored by 14.5.
Yeah, Northwestern's look putrid, yeah. And Wisconsin, our Michigan has just thumped putrid teams. Yeah. So I'll take Michigan.
How about this one? I'm taking Michigan here too as well. Florida at Mississippi State, Florida catching 7.5. They beat Tennessee. So
you know what? Give me those points.
Yeah, I think.
Dan Mullen obviously knows everything about that team. Yeah. He's a pretty smart coach. Florida isn't completely untalented, especially in comparison to
how about this
State.
One? Over-under's at 51.
I'll take the under.
I think this is the under candidate here. My heart of hearts says Mississippi State bounces back and beats their ex-wife.
I would think Mississippi. I would expect
it's a very Mississippian thing to do to beat your ex-wife.
Well, it's actually more Mississippi to lose a fight to your
ex-wife. Yeah, I think Florida that's might be very Mississippi. Beating her. I don't know. give me Mississippi State
it's
here.
It's Texas if you beat her and win.
Give me
it's Mississippi if you fight her and lose.
Give me Mississippi State here, even though they broke my fucking heart last week. -10, Dan. I thought that was the easiest. I think I put, like, the most I put on a game this year. I think it was $7.
You're bankrupt now.
Ruined. If it wasn't for that touchdown in Iowa, Wisconsin, I would have been. Let's see. How about Utah, Washington State? Utah favored by 1.5.
Give me Utah. I'm always going to take the disciplined Utah Utes over Mike Leach.
Yeah.
For some reason, I just always expect Mike Leach teams to be like a bunch of
grass. I like Utah to win by just doing the Stanford thing. Just keep punting, baby. Let them fuck up.
Just never stop punting.
Always punt.
The Utah stretch. Have you seen that? Have you seen that? That game chart that Newt Rockne had in the tens or twenties.
No.
Where it's like the danger zone. This is like what we would call the red zone. It's like, this is where you do your, this is where you go for it. You go for the touchdown. And then there's the zone right before it, which is like the 50 to the 30. And it's like, this is where you do your trick plays. And you should kick a field goal on fourth down. And then, the area before that is like the 30 to the 50. On your side of the field, it's like punt on third down. Be conservative, but also maybe try some stuff. And then if you get the ball inside your own 30, it's like punt on second down.
Just be done with it.
Like, don't do anything foolish. Don't do anything foolish.
Are you sure, like, Stanford doesn't maybe use that same chart?
It's wild.
How about this one? Vatek plus 4.5 at Duke.
I mean, that just seems like a good bounce back for Virginia Tech.
Right.
Because I just don't feel like Duke can stop them.
Here we go. The first of the big primetime matchups here. Stanford at Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 5.5. I'll tell you what I'm taking here. I'm taking the under at 54.
Definitely take the under.
Because I think that over-under is going to climb up, because that feels low, maybe. If that thing gets up to, like, 56, almost 60, put all your money on the under. Like, put your kid on the line for the under there. Reverse mortgage the house and put it all on the under. That's what I'm saying. And this is not for entertainment purposes only. This is real financial advice for me. That you could sue Dan about.
Definitely. Yeah.
But who do you think wins here?
Give me Stanford, because I think it's time Notre Dame gets taken
but
down.
But don't both these teams like kind of suck for good teams? Like, they're definitely in like a third or fourth tier, right?
Well, we don't quite know how good Notre Dame is, because they did start a new quarterback. Yeah. So their offense did hum last week with the new quarterback. But it was also, weren't they playing Wake? Yeah. I mean, everybody homes against Wake. So, give me Stanford. I think they're better in a knife fight, and I feel better about their quarterback.
No, I trust them. Not
their quarterback's been playing good all year.
I trust them to not fuck up a punt. I don't trust Notre Dame not to. If that makes sense.
I trust Stanford to always punt.
Yeah. All right. How about this for the deep dive? Ohio State, Penn State. Ohio State favored by 4. Taking Ohio State here. But you think Penn State's going to be able to like kind of start slow again, or are they going to have to play better?
What I'm really interested to see is if Ohio State can play a team that has similar athletes, that has similar sized players. Because, I mean, against TCU, they have such a physical advantage. To see them play a team that is physically even with them and see if they can run the ball. Because, you know, obviously, at quarterback position this year, they've got, this is the best passer Urban Meyer's ever had. Like, period. I mean, I'm talking about his whole career. He's never had a guy who can throw, who is as good a quarterback throwing the football. But he's a shitty runner. And Ohio State traditionally hasn't been, you know, when you look at Urban Meyer teams historically, when he's, the few times he's had a quarterback who's not that great a runner, it's usually been pretty bad. So, we'll see. I mean, they haven't been tested against a team that can just line up and be physically even with them. I don't know. Their quarterback play is going to be great, but I want to see if they can run the ball.
Over under at 71. I might be looking at that over.
Yeah, I'm taking that over.
It's going to be like a Big 12 game, basically. Moving on down to my real game of the week, BYU at Washington. Washington's favored by 17. Give me BYU here.
Oh, yeah, give me BYU. They're going to be
good. And that's not a knock. Physical. That's not a knock. Washington just doesn't blow people out.
Also, BYU is just still not. Vegas hasn't fully adjusted to the fact that last year's BYU team was an anomaly.
Yeah.
Like, they made, like, Kalani Sitake made a really terrible offensive coordinator hire that completely fucked their offense up. And this year, you know, are they the fucking, the 1983 49ers? No, but they are a physical, tough offensive team that can move the ball on. I mean, they ran the ball on Wisconsin.
Yeah.
If you can run on Wisconsin, you can move the football against anybody.
Yeah. But yeah, I think this is going to be like maybe the funnest late game. Right here. I'm really excited for BYU Washington. And we'll cap it off with Oregon at Cal. Oregon's favored by 3. Both these teams are ranked. So, how shocking is it that Cal is a ranked team?
I mean, you can't say enough about what Wilcox has done there. He's done a tremendous job just building that team at a, I mean, what Sonny Dykes left him wasn't a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So who do we like? You think Oregon's going to bounce back, or you think Oregon's going to kind of slide for a little bit, and Cal will get a nice little win here? Like, kind of a signature. This could be, like, Cal's signature win of the year.
Oregon should beat them, though. I mean, Oregon's just a better team, but we'll see. I mean, I'm going to go with Oregon, but if Cal beats them, I won't be shocked.
I'm going with Cal. Cal plus three, so like they lose by two, still win money. Give me that.
It's given. Yeah.
Quick look ahead to next week, Dan. Is there any game that you're thinking about of major interest? There's two interesting ones.
Hit me.
All right. Auburn at Miss State. Or the Red River Shootout, Oklahoma, Texas.
Obviously, Oklahoma, Texas. America's favorite 11 a.m. football game.
I will not be up in time to watch this game. This will be a I hope it records game. Because they start at like, four in the morning. They play it where? Just at like a cow field. It's the weirdest rivalry
game. They play it at the original Cotton Bowl. They're at the Texas State Fair in downtown Dallas.
Can't beat it.
Near the hospital where JFK went after he was shot
by the magic bullet. Next week as well, Wyoming, Hawaii. I'm a little more interested in that one. This is kind of the battle of us, Dan. Wyoming, like, I'm kind of Hawaii. You're a little more Wyoming.
I like Hawaii. How dare you?
Well. You're big on Wyoming to start the year, Dan. If I remember correctly, I was told Wyoming will win the national title by you.
You are hallucinating.
You said they will be the best Group of Five team.
I don't think I said
believe
that.
That's what we have it on audio record.
I don't believe
it. We have the calendars to prove.
I wrote down in my calendar, won't say stupid thing about Wyoming today.
You did. And so you also wrote, I'm a big, dumb virgin. You went on TV and told everyone that. I don't know why. what's the storyline you're most looking forward to this week? Like, is Ohio State kind of for real? Is that kind of the...
Yeah, that's... I mean, obviously, Penn State, Ohio State's the game of the week, game of the century, game of the year.
Of the month.
You know... Of the forever, you know, biggest game in the history of games. The Olympics pales in comparison. That's the game. Yeah. You know that.
I'm interested in Washington BYU because here's why, Dan. Let's say BYU keeps this up. Let's say BYU they haven't lost a game yet, correct?
Correct.
BYU goes undefeated. They have wins over Wisconsin and Washington. And let's say Wisconsin and Washington both finished with about one or two losses. Would you look back at those two games and say BYU should be in the playoffs? They're undefeated? Like, could this be a game that maybe changes some shit in the playoffs, maybe?
If BYU went undefeated.
Because who else do they play? I mean, I gotta look at their schedule, but it can't be another hard team. Like, this is probably the last elite team they play.
Well, yeah. Once you start getting into conference play, then that's when BYU starts playing like Weber State and Idaho State.
Because after this, they're going to run into Hawaii, UMass, New Mexico State, and then they'll end the year versus Utah. So, like, if you're BYU, you kind of have to win this game, right? If you want to be considered for the playoffs, I think they probably don't make it. But I mean, if you beat Wisconsin and Washington, that's a pretty good resume. And that I would also assume you would beat Hawaii and Utah as well, who are teams that you can respect. Yeah. So I think that's a game no one's like talking about. Like, it's not the flashy, cool one, but it could be the one with maybe the most impact on the college football season. Because if Washington loses here, then are we thinking maybe Stanford playoff team?
Well... I mean, just because if Washington loses to BYU, it won't impact their ability to win the Pac-12.
But they won't be a playoff team. This would knock this would effectively knock the Pac-12 out of the playoffs.
Yeah, it would knock them out of the playoffs, but it wouldn't open the door for Stanford. Stanford's still got to beat them.
Yeah. Well, then, but Stanford hasn't lost a game, so
But they haven't played
Washington. Haven't really played anybody. And they shouldn't have beaten Oregon. So I think, like...
And they should have lost
Oregon. I think there's a lot of consequence here with BYU-Washington. Maybe not more so than Iowa State. Maybe more than Ohio-Penn State. Because, like, the loser of that game could still make the playoffs. Loser of BYU-Washington will not make the playoffs. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
So, that's my case. Anything else, though? Like, is there a team that maybe you want to see something from this week, Dad, to kind of say, like, hey, you're a good team?
It's do or die for Georgia Tech. I think that's my, as a longtime option fan, yeah. As a longtime Paul Johnson fan, they need to lay the wood to Bowling Green. They need to show that they've got something that they're still a
Do you think player. Do you think Pruitt needs to show anything versus Georgia versus Tennessee?
I don't think so, because I think everybody at Tennessee pretty much knows that team's a mess and that he
would the worst thing for him to be a rebuilding almost beat Georgia. Because then you would get that fan base of silence. Like, maybe the best thing is to lose this game by 40.
I guess, but, like, I don't think he's going to have to try. Like, that... I will say this about Pruitt. I wasn't a huge fan when they hired him, but he is far more honest than anybody who's ever coached for Nick Saban. Yeah. It's like, why did that guy leave at halftime? Oh, kicked him off the floor. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you do that? Because he didn't want to come into a play that I told him to come in.
And for all something, you know, for I think we both probably bashed the Pruitt hire at the time, but like for all purposes, he's done a pretty good job of like reorganizing Tennessee's program and kind of and stealing some, you know, semblance of a system or whatever there.
Did you see his quote today when he was asked about how do you handle games like the Florida game where you know, you've got so many recruits in town and then you get beat? Did you see what he
said? No,
what
did he say?
He said, well, I mean, you just tell them, like, this is going to be my worst year because this is my first year. And, like, you sure you can't outplay those guys on the field? It was like, Jesus!
But you know what, Dan? This kind of, like, all shucks kind of George W. Bush thing from Pruitt, it might work. Because now I'm thinking, I could go start at Tennessee.
On the other hand, he might just be Southern Charlie Weiss, because Charlie Weiss did the same thing. Like, if you remember Charlie Weiss's quote as Kansas head coach was, you know, all you gotta do is tell kids, like, are you sure you can't outplay that piece of crap? And it's like, that did not
end well. But I think Southern Charlie Weiss would be far more successful than regular Charlie Weiss.
I can't believe you'd say that. Regular Charlie Weiss had, you know, had John Bon Jovi. Phone number
and a giant gut.
One of the most repulsive looking men.
Like, can you imagine being his wife? Well, I he's divorced. She's probably rich as hell. I know they had a kid though, right?
They did. He got a no-show job at Florida. Yeah.
Well, his kid's autistic or something though, right? So, like, good for him.
No, he was a football coach.
No, Charlie Weiss has an autistic kid as well.
But he does? Well, Are you sure you're not getting mixed up?
No, because he was the guy from Notre Dame, right? I mean, from New England, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he has, like, a foundation or something.
Are you sure you're not getting him confused with Romeo Crennel?
No. In Raising Family, Live a Charity for Children. Yeah, he's got an autistic kid, I think. So there you go, Dan. Way to be insensitive.
And if there's anything I hate doing, it's being insensitive to people with autism on the HapStars.com network.
You know what, Dan? I didn't Google Charlie Weiss' retarded son, so I am improving as a person. His daughter is autistic. There you go.
Oh, that's rare, isn't it?
Yeah, this doesn't really happen a lot, right? Not a lot of autistic women. Maybe more than we think, though. We don't know. I don't know anything about women, Dan. That's what I'm saying. Anything else before we get out of here?
NBA talk.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Butler. Hasn't been traded yet. Miami's kind of looking like that's where it's going to be. I think it's the perfect fit for everybody. I think Timberwolves can get some pieces that will kind of help out their young team. And I think Miami gets a superstar who loves their culture.
Yeah, I think the other thing is that if you can get away from Tom Thibodeau, especially, there's one thing when Jimmy Butler was playing for Tom Thibodeau when he was 22. Yeah. Man, he's almost 30. Yeah. You don't need to be playing for that psychopath.
Yeah, the only advantage for Butler, I think, as he gets older compared to some guys, is not as much wear and tear on the body. Because, like, he didn't really play those first 2 years, if I remember correctly. So, he's got that goal. But I'm ready for this trade to happen. Because, like, I'm starting to get scared Houston's going to get him, and that's going to suck. Because that's a waste of Jimmy Butler.
Of getting to play for a title contender?
Yeah, a team that's going to lose, because, like, Chris Paul's going to get hurt if they have a chance to beat the Warriors, and then they'll lose.
The Heat ain't going to win anything.
The Heat could push Boston to 7 games or something.
The Houston could legit win the fucking title.
They're not, though, because Chris Paul.
How dare you?
He's like the Atlanta of the NBA. Something's going to go wrong. We all know
this. How dare you?
It's true. Where was he last year when it mattered? Hurt. Year before, hurt.
Well, he just needs an extra person.
Hey, Jimmy, what are you going to fit Jimmy Butler? You got to play Melo. So I just don't... Let me see it.
You don't actually have to play Melo. Like, that's the...
Do you think, like, Houston's GM's just, like, kicking himself right now, like, not planning for, like, to make that Butler move all summer? Or maybe he was. I don't know.
I don't know. Even if he was, he would never admit it. He'd be like, actually, I geniused this. I was 5 steps ahead of everyone. Yeah. I'm playing 17-dimensional chess.
That's why he's a MAGA guy, too. People forget that.
Is he?
Yeah. Maury? I don't know if he's a MAGA guy. He's a Republican.
I thought he was one of those never Trumps.
He might be. Unlike our boy,
He feels like a Rick Wilson conservative.
Who's the, like an Ernie Johnson conservative. You remember, like, when the NBA, like, after Trump won, he was like, I voted by heart, and I voted for Dennis Kucinich. It's like,
what?
That's what Ernie Johnson said after Trump won. He said, I voted
Dennis Kucinich.
Not Kucinich. Who's the fucker from Ohio? The Ohio governor? John Kasich?
Yeah. Mr. Norms.
Yeah. And it's like, thanks for wasting your vote, buddy. You can vote your heart. Just don't vote.
Did you see Marco Rubio's thing today? Like, his bizarre football thing?
No.
He was like, look, you know, I understand fans don't want to see, you know, all these penalties for roughing the quarterback. But the bottom line is, you know, if we don't start doing something, we won't have football in... Some, you know, if the current rates of parents not letting their kids play football continues, then nobody's going to be playing football in 20 years. And there are no Japanese or Lithuanian quarterbacks. And everybody was like,
what the fuck?
Lithuania and Japan.
What?
Well, I mean, I get the point he was making. It's that, like, no other country plays football. So if Americans stop playing football, football just dies.
Yeah, it'll die, but, like... Who cares? Like,
whereas, like,
dead.
Baseball, like, they play baseball in Japan.
And Lithuania.
And basketball, they play
did
Lithuania.
He mean,
they play basketball.
Did he mean Lithuania? The city outside of Atlanta? Okay.
But, yeah, everyone was baffled
at
him saying Lithuania
right now
in Japan.
Is, like, they just changed the rule because Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And then, oddly enough...
And nobody really understands.
Yeah, it's because, like, you can't land on the court. Like, no, you got hurt in a freak accident. You can't... It'll probably never happen again. Why worry about it?
I mean, it basically makes Reggie White's whole career illegal.
Yeah.
Because that was the Reggie White move.
Well, you know what? I think with the SJWs, his career would be illegal anyway, right? Because he was such a homophobe. People forget that.
He was a pastor.
People forget that Reggie White was a bigot. But not me. I'm here to remind you. That and that Antonio Gates used to play football.
They used to play basketball. Of course he used to play football. Everybody
people forget that.
The blacks can be bigoted too. I go into my Chicago whenever I start talking about the blacks.
The blacks. Anything else though? We got out here.
Why is Tom Thibodeau still a coach? In
yeah, I know.
I'm just going to ask that periodically like a white guy. Until somebody gives me an answer.
There's no reason. Because people from the Midwest are dumb as fuck.
He's never won anything, and his system has been disproven by basically all of known study on basketball.
And we have to keep seeing that stupid gif of him. So, like, the sooner he's out of basketball, the sooner we're done with that gif. And that's what I'm rooting for.
Also, I don't trust a man who does a comb over with one strand.
So, I think that's it for me. Oh, quick thing, Dan. Get ready to review Venom in a month.
Venom! Maybe. Okay, is that a Vince
McMahon? That's a Eminem. That's what Eminem song goes. Venom!
What?
There's an Eminem song for Venom. You didn't know that?
Of course there is. That is the most appropriate. And
it's one of the worst I've ever heard.
Are we all willing to admit that Eminem was always shit?
No, he was awful. Because like, even go back to, like, I guess, like, Real Slim Shady was a fun pop song, though. But that's all it was.
It wasn't good.
No, it was pop. It was just fun. It's like, are nerds good? No, but you still eat them.
Do you?
I don't eat nerds. But, like, if, you know, Halloween's coming, though. I'm sure I'll eat a box of nerds coming up soon.
I will never eat a box of nerds. That is my solemn vow to this podcast audience of one thing.
But Dan, I'm hyped for Venom, and I'm hyped for Joker. I don't know if you've seen the pictures from that movie. That one's going to suck. And it's going to suck in that way.
Whoa. You mean a DC movie's going to suck? I don't buy it.
A DC movie that no one wanted. About a character whose origin we don't really care about.
Like, we don't want... Like, it's bad to even know.
Yeah. But everyone's going to pretend, like...
Don't be some DC fanboy.
That's going to be one that I think a lot of people pretend's good, because of, like, Joaquin Phoenix. But it's going to suck.
There's also going to be, like, a bunch of antisocial DC creeps who are going to be like, no, it's good that they've made a hero out of the guy who, like, wantonly murders people.
Yeah.
And, like, cuts his face open and
wears his own face.
Like, the most evil person in the entirety of the comics. Is he the most evil,
or is it really Batman? A little philosophy question there.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's.
Because if Batman would just break his vow and not be selfish and kill the Joker, he could end all the suffering. But the Joker will win. The Joker always wins, Bruce. Because you don't kill him. And he proves that you're a hypocrite. So just kill him.
Well, no, Batman proves him wrong by not stooping to his...
And then he just keeps killing people, so, like...
Alright, Mr. fucking right wing!
I'm just saying!
We just gotta execute these blacks!
No! I'm sorry!
Our white women.
At some point, you do have to execute the Joker.
No.
It's ridiculous.
Principles are... It's not... If having principles was easy, everybody...
Well, you know what? You know what's not easy? When, like, multiple women get raped all the time by this crazy man in paint, and all these children are dead from another bomb, because you just can't fucking pull the trigger on some asshole. More people have died.
It shouldn't be that hard to keep him locked up.
That's the other issue. How's he keep getting out? What's going on at Arkham? Who's running that, you know?
Quit giving him female psychology.
Folks...
Clearly, it's not working.
Folks,
we just gotta stop hiring women psychologists.
We gotta kill the Joker. I will, like, when Trump's dementia gets to the point, I want to get hired by his White House to, like, convince him that, like, comic books are real. So, like, he just gets mad at Spider-Man. Spider-Man's a menace! We don't know who's under that mask. We don't know.
I mean, you can't, I mean, who wears
the mask? We know who Iron Man is. He's Tony Stark. He's a good friend of mine.
But no, he wouldn't know any of the current superheroes. He'd just start talking about, like, the Submariner or something that was around when he was a kid. Folks, the Shadow, like, he learned, like, the Japanese, like, the
Green Hornet.
The Secrets of the Orient.
Talk to my friend, the Green Hornet. He agrees on the Japan deal. Great deal. The best. You, Mr. Kurd, in the back. That was the other great part of that press conference today, where he mistaked, like, two Kurdish guys who looked nothing alike. That owned.
He just knows that the Kurds are good. They're the good brown
They're good people. Fighters. Very good.
You know, especially the ones who have swastikas on their rifles.
So, I think that
those are the very. Fine
I think that's it for me this week. But we're gonna go on this Venom hype train. This could be one of the worst movies of the year, and I'm ready for it.
When is Sony just gonna stop?
They're gonna do more, baby. DC hasn't even stopped. They're gonna make a Joker Harley movie.
I don't think they're still gonna.
No, do they that, are. The create. It's like from the This Is Us guy.
They're gonna have two different Jokers.
Yep. And they're gonna have. I think the guy from This Is Us.
Like, DC's almost like. DC still has fanboys, though.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm subscribed to the DC universe. I've enjoyed it a lot.
But, like, when you talk about DC's, like, failed movie things, there'll be people who will pop up and go, what, are they supposed to just do everything the way Marvel does? What sense does that make? And it's like, I mean, if we're now making it where, oh, you're ripping off Marvel, if you have a continuity that everything sticks to, instead of like this half.
Or if you just make like a blockbuster psychotic. That's like fun to watch.
Yeah, it's ripping off Marvel if you make a blockbuster movie that people enjoy.
Like, where you don't leave the movie like wanting to just gouge out every fucking organ in your body because you just went through the worst fucking 4.5 hours of your life. That was Batman.
It's ripping
Superman.
Off. It's ripping
why
off.
Why did you say that name? Why would you say that?
Martha. How do you know Martha?
And here's Superman fucking Lois Lane in the bathtub. Like, what the fuck? Justice League was okay,
also,
I will say.
It's actually really good and wholesome if movies are, like, rewritten 5 times during the filming of the ending. That's what you want movies to be. You want every time you make a movie, you want it to be a story about, they changed directors like 3 times in the middle of this movie. Oh, they hired a company that just does trailers to make their movie.
Suicide Squad was one of the worst. I didn't even get 10 minutes in to Suicide Squad. Fucking sucked.
I just can't.
Has there been a good mod? Like, I thought Man of Steel was like a good start. I thought.
Yeah, I liked.
Yeah, I thought like
until the ending.
Well, I didn't mind the ending in terms of like it was a good opportunity for character growth and development. They fucked that up, and that's why you don't make a decision like that if you're not really good at creative stuff. But like, I don't mind Superman like killing somebody and then living with the regret and like that's why he doesn't kill these people. Sure, you just gave me a reason for why he's that's cool. But then, like, you just turn him into Jesus in the next movie or whatever the fuck Batman vs. Superman was.
Yeah, I would say, Man of Steel was okay. I still think, like, the whole washed out, no color, like, everything is gloomy is not a good idea for Superman.
No. Because then you ruin the contrast with Batman, and then Batman vs. Superman just turns into, like, 300.
Just
but,
nothing but rain.
300, but shittier and gayer. Somehow.
Oh, man, how could you get gayer?
Yeah, and there's a girl in it. So what's that tell you? Awful movie. What a great way to end this. Fuck sex.
I do also like that the only DC movie anybody's enjoyed has been Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And instead of making other movies like Wonder Woman, they just seem to be going out of their way.
Well, I think Aquaman. Just be like, Aquaman looks okay.
Does it?
Momoa, okay, I think Momoa's such a likable guy, that movie might work. But it's gonna be only...
I don't know, it seemed like a lot of, like, pensively looking at the beach. Like, staring
at the... But then, like, jugging a bottle of Jack Daniels and smashing it, being like, you know, fuck her in the pussy!
I'm a Samoan!
Yeah, fuck her in the pussy, boys! And then, like, jumping off an airplane. I can get in the show. Still better than anything else they've done. So that's it for me.
Alright. I also like that for all the talk that DC fanboys go, ooh, you just want DC to rip off Marvel. And it's like, well, they basically ripped off Marvel with The Flash, his origin. Like, he's basically just their Spider-Man. You know, like, Bruce Wayne gives him a cool suit, and that's...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Well.
But, anyway, with that out of the way, it's good to be back. My house... Well, I didn't talk about this. My house did not get destroyed.
There you go.
We
did it.
My town did. Like, we lost our one restaurant.
Well, now you're the richest man in town.
I do have a lot of meat. So, on that note, fuck the Queen, fuck Australia, fuck hurricanes, and play the music.
Fuck Ole Miss!